This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. West Virginia is one of four states that will receive part of a $500 million federal flood relief package. Liz McCormick reports, however, it's unclear how much of it will be rewarded to the Mountain State.
The bill was part of a compromise budget deal approved by Congress this week to avoid a government shutdown. The U.S. Senate initially stalled the bill on Tuesday because it did not include aid for Flint, Michigan's lead-contaminated water. Senators compromised, agreeing to revisit funding for the city when they return in December, and on Wednesday, both the Senate and House passed the bill. It was then signed by President Barack Obama. West Virginia Congressman Evan Jenkins spoke with reporters Thursday afternoon, saying the federal bill will award $500 million to Louisiana, West Virginia, Texas, and Maryland for flood recovery efforts. Jenkins says the U.S. Secretary for Housing and Urban Development will decide how much money each state receives for flood relief based on need. He says it will be important for West Virginia to make the agency aware of what happened here in June.
We are certainly going to have to be proactive. We are certainly going to have to fight to make sure we get our fair share.
He points out, however, this will not be the last request for flood relief aid.
This is a down payment, this half a billion dollars. I will certainly be going back, as I know Senator Capito will be, to add additional funding through the appropriations process.
Governor Earl Ray Tomlin has requested $310 million for federal community development grants to help struggling coal communities impacted by flooding. Also on Thursday, Senators Joe Manchin and Shelley Moore Capito announced an additional award of $1.5 million from the Federal Emergency Management Agency to West Virginia. The money will be used by the Nicholas County School District to replace contents and facilities destroyed or damaged by the June flood. The county lost three schools in high water and had already been awarded a similar FEMA grant to help rebuild. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Liz McCormick.
Activists from West Virginia, Kentucky are in the nation's capital this week lobbying in support of the Reclaim Act. Reporter Benny Becker spoke with two lobbying participants about their hopes that the bill will open new opportunities for coal field economies.
Since 1978, coal companies have paid billions of dollars into a fund that covers the cost of restoring old, abandoned mine sites. The Reclaim Act would speed up the spending from that fund, releasing an extra $1 billion over 5 years. That would go toward reclamation projects chosen based on their potential to boost the economy in areas that have lost coal jobs. Stephanie Bowling is among those who flew in from Kentucky. She now lives in Lexington, but grew up around the coal mines in Pike County, Kentucky. Bowling says something needs to be done for struggling coalfield communities.
We don't get to just drop these people and their families because we've decided to transition away from coal.
Karen Williams made the trip from Charleston, West Virginia, and says she believes the Reclaim Act will create jobs and jumpstart the economy.
If we can turn land where a coal mine used to be into something that's productive and keep those children that are there hopeful, that's what we need to do. It's the right thing to do.
The Sierra Club sponsored the lobbying trip and also conducted a poll that suggests a lot of people agree with Bowling and Williams. 90% of Kentuckians and 87% of West Virginians said they support the Reclaim Act. The bill was introduced by Kentucky's Congressman Hal Rogers back in February and has co-sponsors from both parties, including all three of West Virginia's representatives. Bowling and Williams say they hope the bill will get passed when Congress comes back in session after the election. For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Benny Becker in Whitesburg, Kentucky.
This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:48. Showers and thunderstorms today. Some storms could produce heavy rain and gusty wind, highs in the 60s and low 70s. Rain and thunderstorms tonight with lows in the 50s. Partly sunny on Saturday, a slight chance of rain and thunderstorms with highs in the 60s and low 70s. Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting is provided by the CAMC Foundation, supporting technological advances at CAMC through the purchase of medical equipment like 3D mammography, now offered at the CAMC Breast Center. More at CAMCFoundation.org. Appalachian foodies may have seen or heard about a new cookbook that's been getting a lot of buzz lately. It's called Vittles. And a few of the recipes in the book reference a pie crust by Emily Hillard. Emily is the state's folklorist in West Virginia, but she's also a great baker. This week on Inside Appalachia, Jessica Lilly speaks with Emily about the social importance of baking pies. Let's listen to part of their conversation where they talk about an article Emily wrote for SIFT magazine.
This article talks about the anthropology of pie. Tell us a little bit about that if you can.
Yes, so that is a King Arthur Flour magazine that came out, I think, last fall. And they asked me to write basically a 1,000-word article on the anthropology of pie, which I realized is a book. But I sort of got through the basics in this article and kind of presenting the scope of the history of pie in the U.S. and why do we say things like American is apple pie, that sort of thing. So some of the themes that I think I'm exploring there are the idea that pie has these two kind of disparate entities. There's the hard crust, and that is kind of this, I think of it as you need to have some sort of skill or knowledge to do that well. And then the filling, which is loose and you can throw whatever you want in.
Yeah, I think I can handle that part.
Yeah, like you were saying. Yeah. So in a way, pie is this balance between these two opposites. You want the crust to be crisp and flaky, but then you want the filling to be gooey and you don't want the crust to get too, you know, sopping wet with the filling. So it's really this exercise in balance. And I'm kind of exploring that on a cultural level and talking about how pie is really something that values rural places over urban places traditionally. Mm. It's rural food. And that goes back to the nothing in the house and depression pies, desperation pies. It's something that people could make to extend things longer. Like if they're making savory pies, meat's about to go bad or meat doesn't taste that good, you throw it with some other things, maybe some apples and some raisins and mincemeat pie, and it's delicious. And it just extends things further. And pie also demands you to sit down with other people. It's not like a cupcake that is your personal party. It is a communal dish. So you have to sit down to eat it. It's not something you can eat on the go. It's best shared, people sitting around it. Mm. So that's really one of the things I like the most about pie. It demands social gathering.
Yeah, which seems really important nowadays with social media and the way that we interact so often digitally. I never thought about it that way, but if you're right. When you have a pie, you do have to sort of sit down and enjoy it and interact with other folks.
Emily says she first fell in love with pie making when she discovered this social connection. She had just graduated college and had just found wild mulberry trees and wild black raspberry bushes around Ann Arbor, Michigan, where she was living.
All my gal friends got together and we picked berries and we made pies together this summer.
Oh, wow.
And it was sort of this post-college, what are we going to do with our lives? We don't know. Let's make pies instead. So that was
really... way you can keep socializing, right? You have to.
Yeah, keep your hands busy, keep your mind off things.
Yeah.
So that was really how it started. And then it just sort of evolved from there. The blog came about because one of my friends who I was baking with said, when I moved away, let's start this blog and we can stay in touch through the pies we're baking. So that's really how it started. And then as I got more interested in traditional American foodways and folklore, then it took on this cultural element. So it's evolved sort of as I've evolved as an adult in the world.
That was Emily Hillard, the state folklorist in West Virginia, and the author of the pie blog, Nothing in the House. You can hear the rest of Jessica Lilly's interview with Emily on this week's special Appalachia episode of Inside Appalachia, Apple, the state's apple industry. The episode airs on West Virginia Public Broadcasting this Sunday morning at 7 and Sunday evening at 6, or you can download the podcast on iTunes. Jamgrass Heroes' Leftover Salmon returned to the mountain stage this week with a song that contemplates West Virginia history, Blair Mountain. Here's Leftover Salmon with this mountain's stage song of the week.
In the West Virginia mountains, back in 1921, National Guard, State Police, and coal company guns shot down 100 miners that the bosses saw as pawns. And up on Old Blair Mountain, the ghosts are feeling strong. When they marched out of the Tug Fork, said Hatfield was shot down. At the McDowell County Courthouse, coal cops fired around. 10,000 Union miners got bloody mingo bound. And up on Blair Mountain, their ghosts are in the ground. Blair Mountain, where bombs came raining down. And machine guns on the ridge line try to turn a Union round. Well, they say that mountain's only where the coal that's in the ground. But the ghosts of all those miners still out walking around. We're talking about Blair Mountain brings the fighting out of me. Thinking of those good men and the fat cat companies. They want to tear their mountain down to erase that memory. For a little bit of coal just to sail across the sea. We'll Blair Mountain, where bombs keep raining down. And machine guns on the ridge line try to turn a Union round. Well, they say that mountain's only where the coal that's in the ground. But the ghosts of all those miners still out walking around. Fight to get along. It's a fight back in the hills over what is right and wrong. But they tried to play Bear Mountain down and raise the memory. And it won't be much to fight for if Blair Mountain's gone. Well, Blair Mountain, bombs keep raining down. And machine guns on the ridge line try to turn a Union round. But they say that mountain's only worth the coal that's in the ground. But the ghosts of those dead miners still out walking around.
That was Leftover Salmon with Blair Mountain. You can hear this song and more Saturday night at 8 on Mountain Stage right here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, Marshall University, and Shepherd University. West Virginia Morning is produced with the help from Glennis Board, Clark Davis, Jessica Lilly, Carol Lofton, Ann Lee, Liz McCormick, Roxy Todd, Jesse Wright, and Beth Voorhees. Our producer is Ashton Mara. I'm Teresa Wills.